Hey everyone, before we get started, if you've got a second, Tess and I would really appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. It makes a big difference for us as we're developing this podcast, and it just lets you know when our new episodes are released. Thank you.
I'm going through topical steroid withdrawal, and the reason why we've not been taking video is because I have been a dog with mange. Your eyes are wide. Nobody can see you, but like I can see trauma all over you right now. Going to the hairdressers.
Just sitting still for our kids sometimes can be so hard.
Those are some of our sensory systems, and they can be hyper responsive or they can be hypo responsive.
Go do this traumatic thing that feels awful all over your body and I'll get you a lollipop.
I just lost skills and I just don't know what to do.
I feel like that is happening to me right now. Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
I must confess, I am enjoying talking absolute bullshit to you before it starts. So, because I know you've got to listen to it.
It's so fucking annoying. You like wasting my time is what I'm hearing.
If I can make you smile 1% in the midst of your chaos of your life, then I'm like, I'll do that, even if you're angry with me throughout.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was a sad state of affairs, wasn't I? I literally, the way I can explain my skin is like a dog with mange. Like that is genuinely how
I was barking. I
was just like
and scratching myself,
inflamed and so sad, feeling so sorry for myself. But I'm looking better. To update the listeners, I'm going through topical steroid withdrawal and or just having really ruthless eczema flare-ups at the moment. It's anybody's guess. The dermatologist sure don't know, sure don't really care. So the reason why we've not been taking video is because I have been a dog with mange. But today, the Sandman has dried up and has gone, and I seem to have a layer of skin underneath that will allow me to put a bit of cream on it to help to make me look a bit better. So
maybe we're going to need a whole session on this, because I know there'll be a lot of listeners out there who either are in the same boat, be in the same boat, or have kids with eczema. So, I mean, you're not the guru and a doctor about it, but it is nice hearing other people going through the same stuff, isn't it?
And maybe people talking about it from a more mild experience. I think a lot of what's floating around on TikTok at the moment are people who are unfortunately going through it really, really severely. It's full
extreme
body, and that sent me into an absolute spiral. You've been privy to it, Zaz, but like I've been having panic attacks, and just really mental health has not been okay, because I've been really worried that that's how my skin is going to go. And it's not even just how it looks, like that's such a small part of it. It's the fact that like my sleep has been really disrupted. Like I'm constantly itching throughout the night. It's affecting my work. So I have actually been taking daily videos or every couple of days of my skin, like the healing process, and have been talking about what I've been doing. I just haven't put it up on any platforms yet, because I'm kind of just seeing how it goes first. I don't want to take the floor away from people who are going through topical steroid withdrawal if in fact that's not how mine ends up being and it is just an eczema flare.
Yeah.
So yes, I've just sort of got some recordings in the bank, and I am documenting what's going on.
Yeah, good call. And it's good for you to just be able to look back on.
Yeah, exactly. But today we have got a topic that I think all families are going to be able to understand, empathize, sympathize with, which is going to the hairdressers.
Yep. I'm sure we've all got a story about this, about a friend of a friend or a sibling or an auntie or whatever who hasn't enjoyed an experience to the hairdressers, or has had an adverse reaction, or you know, it's been stressful. So I know. Yeah.
Your eyes are wide. Nobody can see you, but like I can see trauma all over you right now.
Oh yeah. I remember going to get my hair cut I'm talking as like a teenager, and them talking, the hairdressers joking about a time that a child came in and screamed the place down. And like they told the story as if it was funny. Oh. And it was my brother, and I'd been there for my brother. Mm-hmm. It was like a few weeks ago, and it was my brother they were talking about. They were telling me about it.
Oh my God.
And I mean, and like, fair enough. It must have been like embedded in their brains because he screamed the place down, and my poor dad didn't know what else he should be doing. And he just thought, I've just got to push him through this, and he's just got to be through it. And, you know, mum said, get his hair cut. So let's get his hair cut. And he was the talk of the hairdressers to the point where it was told to a teenager a couple of weeks later. And I'd been there. I'd witnessed it.
Oh my God. That is absolutely awful. Your poor brother. So this topic was spurred on by a listener who messaged us, who said that they're having some difficulties with some sensory processing, and it asked for examples, and they said going to the hairdressers can be really stressful for their family. So that's kind of what led us to this topic. We decided that we're not going to talk about sensory processing as a whole thing today. We're just going to talk about it, how it links to hairdressing, but we will release future podcasts about how it can impact different experiences.
Mm.
It's important to note that obviously neither of us are occupational therapists. We're speech and language therapists. However, I do have a lot of experience with managing sensory processing because of the school context that I work in. We work as a transdisciplinary team, which means that I have been really lucky to work alongside amazing occupational therapists who have taught me a thing or two about sensory processing, and we have supported a lot of our families with going to the hairdressers as well.
Mm. You wear many hats, Tess. You wear many hats, as we all do, working in this field. You do end up, you know, with a lot more skills than you started out with, thankfully. It'd be worse if it went in the opposite direction. Hey, you just got shitter.
I just lost skills, and I just don't know what to do.
I feel like that is happening to me right now. No, I found this really interesting because I would say that, you know, we won't go into it, but so many of my family are neurodiverse, and I do think that for my own children. And my son used to be sort of, they call it bomb-proof, where, you know, they're just not fazed by anything. And he just reached a point in his life where suddenly he became really stressed out by loud noises. And it was like an overnight thing. It went from like, yes, I'll help you use the blender, to, oh my gosh, the blender is drilling into my brain. The same with the lawnmower, the same with the blender, you know, anything that made a big noise. He became really scared of public toilets because of the hand dryers. Be like, do not get me near a hand dryer. That's going to make a loud noise without my consent. So it's interesting how these things can come on and then suddenly, you know, take over a kid's well-being.
So the examples that you've listed are questions that we ask all of our families when they start with us. Oh. And what that indicates to me is that he's having some difficulties processing lower frequencies. So sounds which are lower frequencies are all of those examples. So lawnmowers, hair dryers, hand dryers, and they can be really distressing if you're not able to process or modulate the sounds properly. And something that's really interesting is that sometimes if we've got auditory sensitivities and we're not processing the auditory input properly or typically, it can also lead to tactile sensitivities because our skin takes on, our body can sort of feel some of the frequencies that we can't hear with the naked ear. Like an example would be when you're at a rave or a concert and you can feel the bass through your body.
Oh, we all know what that feels like. The bass is like vibrating you. You're like, am I enjoying
the
this?
The bass, you're
like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Another shot and I'll start enjoying it. Yeah, and then that can lead to some tactile sensitivity. So some difficulties managing different feelings of clothes, touch, because our skin starts to absorb some of the sound rather than our ears. So this is why sometimes our kids can have real difficulties with going to the hairdressers, and that can be really, really stressful for the sensory system. That would indicate that Augie, the children, have got hyper responsive to auditory information in the lower range. In our sensory systems, this is a very, very basic explanation of it,
yeah,
but our sensory system, so our vision, our ears, our auditory system, our tactile, so our touch, our proprioceptive, which is like our muscles, our deep touch, so like our hugs, our vestibular systems, which is like understanding where your body is in space. So, you know, when people say they've got like vertigo mm-hmm. and it's coming from their ears, it's a little sack of fluid in your ears telling you where your body is and where your head is in space. So those are some of our sensory systems, and they can be hyper responsive. So they respond, they're particularly sensitive to input, or they can be hypo responsive. So they can be under responsive to input that's coming in. And we all have different sensory profiles. So like loud sounds really stress me out. Loud talking really stresses me out. People who talk loud in public spaces particularly stress me out. Mm. So there's lots of different, you know, we've all got our own sensory profiles.
Everyone, hey. There's not, you couldn't say that you didn't. Like, I know that I am a wild woman if I can hear the fan going above the cuckoo. I'm like, do not. I cannot think B exist with that noise on. And we, you know, some of us like a heavy blanket, some of us like a light sheet, some of us like really like warm temperatures. Oh. Not some of, roller coasters, not, you know, all yep. of those things. But I've heard yep. that it's all, also can be called like auditory defensiveness, so the becoming yep. stressed out by big sounds. And look, it's not just even, it doesn't even have to be big sounds. If you think about the hairdressers, it can be just the sound of the room, the weird echoey sound of the room. It can be the sound of the scissors. It could be the sound of the clippers. It could be, that's one of the many sort of like sensory assaults that you get when you go to the hairdressers. Hey, and if you are neurotypical or you are processing sensory input typically, then you will have got used to it over time, and you won't even be taking in all the differences of the different experience that you're having at the hairdressers. But for people who are having difficulty processing things sensorially, you think about the noise, you think about the feeling of hair down your neck and water being sprayed on your head and someone touching you too softly yeah. or too deeply or fiddling with your hair can all feel awful. And then the smell of hair gel,
yeah.
the smell of whatever else goes on,
or even like them talking too much, the language that they're using you're not understanding. What you touched on also is what we call sensory modulation. So it's your ability to filter out some sounds and pay attention to others. Mm. So that is really, really tricky. And when you're in fight or flight or freeze, so when your nervous system is kind of taken over and you're stressed out, you're far more primed to have difficulties in this area. So in our school, we often say that our children are primed for fight, flight and freeze, which means that their auditory system is completely overriding a lot of the other sensory systems, because your auditory system is your strongest sense of safety. Mm-hmm. We use it all the time to make sure that we are safe in our environment, and so it kind of kicks into overdrive when we're feeling stressed. And so if we know that going to the hairdressers is a stressful time for our children or a stressful time for the parents, then we're already going in the state of fight, flight or mm-hmm. freeze, which means that our sensory difficulties are going to be even more obvious.
Yeah, so nothing could have even happened. You just, the awareness of a child yeah. for a child that they are going to get their hair cut can be enough.
Yeah. So what can we do about it, Zaz? What can we do? What success have you had with going to the hairdressers, either with your brothers or with August and Etta?
Honestly, what happened for my brother is that my mom invested in some hair clippers, and she started cutting his hair from home, because it just became such a build-up, became so nice. Traumatic that she slowly but surely started introducing him to the noise of the buzzer. It was just around in the house. He could play with it. You know, it was like a slow introduction to it being near him, and then a bit nearer, and then it being on his head, etc. And she cut his hair for many years until he got to a stage where he's more comfortable. With August, the first time we went in for a haircut, we chose one of those places that, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but there are lots of places that are hairdressers just for children, and they have things set up
yeah.
to be better for children in many ways, including, you know, for children yeah. who are overwhelmed with sensory input. And what I noticed was that you made a booking for this place and you were pretty much the only people in there. There was nobody waiting, so there weren't any extra people. The children sat in like play cars, like you were sitting in a car. You got to choose whether you watched the telly or you didn't watch the telly. Cool. You got to choose the input, and I asked for, instead of like a clipper cut, I asked for them to use the scissors the first time around, no matter what the haircut. I was like, I'm happy for it to take a bit longer. So, you know, it was the setting was really important, and the person, you know, it wasn't just any old person. It was someone who was familiar with kids and who was willing to take things slow. And my expectations were low. Hey, I wasn't expecting him to come out with like the haircut of the year.
Yeah, Augie's always had very, very cool haircuts. The long on top, the bun.
It was just like the boy whatever bun. Happens, as long as he's had a good time here. So for me, thankfully, it it went well. I mean, there's been times where it's gone worse, but it was about him having the most successful time as possible there. So if he had found it more tricky, I would have I would have been happy for him to not even get his haircut. If he was in that building, seeing others get their haircut, seeing others with the clippers and in the situation, even for that first time, I would have been happy if he'd left happy having witnessed that.
Amazing, amazing. We use similar sort of strategies with our families, but we are lucky enough, there's like a special needs hairdresser in the borough that we work in.
Nice.
So he is apparently amazing, and he'll go into the family's homes and we'll do the haircuts there. And similar strategies to what I think you said your mum was saying, like a bit of desensitization, so getting used to hearing the tools and looking at the tools, exploring the tools to make them more familiar to them. And he just takes his time, and if they don't get the haircut done, they don't get the haircut done, and that's cool.
Yeah, I have seen that. I've seen videos of people who specialize in cutting the hair of people with autism. I remember seeing that on a TV show, actually. And I've seen people who are willing to cut around big headphones,
yeah,
like the huge ones that I'm wearing, just moving them around. Yep. I know when August goes for a haircut, it's the only time I give him my AirPods, at least one of them. I jam it in his ears, his tiny little ears, and I'm like, here's your something to listen to. Here's your distraction, so that, you know, he's not having to listen so much to the sound of the clippers now. I have made mistakes, though. There's been times where I've taken him to just somewhere, like run in, run out, and the person was so rough with him. Mm. And I was like, oh my goodness, never again. Like, here's a quick learning curve for me. I'm not going to do this again, where someone doesn't care and is like yanking his head
just left, right, and center,
and looking annoyed when he's not following instructions. I'm like, he's four. Could you just like give him some leeway?
Yeah. I do the same with the AirPods strategy at the dentist. I don't know about you, but I always have music blaring in my ears because I cannot stand the noise of the dentist. It's so stressful. Yeah. So can empathize with him there.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's just about being an advocate for your child, hey, when you know what it is.
Yeah.
So we'd dug to the bottom of, so one of the reasons August didn't like going was the tactile element. So the feeling of things.
Yeah.
He didn't like the feeling of hair down his neck.
Yeah.
I mean, who does? But that was, I mean, it just gets incredibly itchy and it feels horrible. But once I told the guy that we go and see that's what was happening, he went out of his way to brush August's neck pretty much after every little section.
Aww.
Of trim, he was like, that and we brush it, that and we brush it, to get it all off for him. And August felt way safer knowing that if he did feel that feeling, it was going to be so brief, because the man was putting so much effort in. He was holding a hairdryer to blow hair off him, you know, like people caring.
Yeah, I am actually like cringing at the thought of having hair down my back right now. Like, I have got some real sensory processing differences, and that Augie and I can bond over this. Disgusting feeling. So we've touched on quite a few different strategies that I use at school and that you use at home around desensitization and going to kid-friendly places or having people coming in. We also would really encourage families to do play and role play around going to the hairdressers before.
Yes.
Completely just normalizing it and practicing different scenarios that might happen, talking through it. It can be with dolls or it can be proper role play, sort of depending on where your child's play is at. Have you ever had to do any of that? Have you ever done it? Or have your children ever wanted to pretend that they're at a hairdresser's when you've been doing play?
Yeah, for sure. It's so interesting you say that, because my story today on my Instagram is August pretending to be a hairdresser. We often talk about playing salons in my house. And just to normalize that, and yeah, we've done it before on teddies, on dolls with long hair. I don't think I've ever specifically done it for hairdressing in preparation of going to the hairdressers, but my daughter Etta has yet to go and get her first haircut. Mm. And she said that she wants to, and she's witnessed August from a distance, and she's been into these places, and she's, you know, that's been her little introduction. But we will for sure be doing more role play of that before she has to go and sit still for any length of time, because that's part of it as well. I mean, just sitting still for our kids sometimes can be so hard.
There's just so many things to consider. It's just such a new environment, so many sensory experiences. And I can understand that a lot of families will be like, okay, if you're good while we do this, then we can go to McDonald's afterwards, or we can go and do this afterwards and do a bit of like a, we call like a carrot and a stick. Like, if you do this, then you'll get this. And that does work for some children who aren't experiencing the sensory differences, but it's just, you know, it's just something that they maybe don't like doing, or, you know, they're kind of more in control of their nervous system. But that strategy probably isn't really going to work for our children who are finding it that they're in fight, flight or freeze, or that their sensory system is kind of overriding. I did see on your story this morning that you recommended for families just to go out and get out and go for walks and go into nature. And I would really strongly recommend that as a strategy before going to the hairdressers as well. So go and try and regulate through movement before you're expected to sit and modulate the sounds around you.
Yeah, pick your times as well. You know when your child isn't so good. If I take my kids for anything after 3 p.m., I know it's going to be downhill.
Yeah.
And actually, the last time I got August haircut, it was just like on a whim. We were like, we've got time now. John needed his haircut. We went after 3 o'clock. My kids were genuinely spinning on the floor of the mall, like mid, close to meltdown, like hungry, but also wanted to be in a toy shop, so wouldn't eat, and also needed their haircut. It was really touch and go there for a second. But choosing the time of day, like, is first thing in the morning best for you once they've had something to eat and they're in their best place?
Yeah.
And is that going to be quieter? There going to be less people in and around the mall, the hairdressers, if you're choosing your times.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And one other strategy that we have done for some of our children is just writing a learning story. Again, we touched on learning stories last week. When was it?
One of the weeks.
One of the weeks.
It'll be 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Whoever. These are pre-recorded.
Yes, they do not all just occur on the day, funnily enough. Yeah, so writing a little learning story about what to expect when going to the hairdressers can be really helpful as well. You know, making it as predictable as possible for our little ones.
Little hack here as well. You can probably write into Google learning story hairdressers, and there'll be one that you can get in Google Images or on a website pretty swiftly for free that might not touch on all the perfect points of what happens at a hairdresser near you, but will be close to, so you're not having to rewrite.
Amazing.
I was going to say rewrite the wheel. I'm sure that's not a phrase.
Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Work smarter, not harder.
Absolutely. But I love what you said before about just offering your child a treat to get something done isn't necessarily going to work. Yep. And if they're really overwhelmed, it can be like feeling scared. So someone's like, could you hold this tarantula and I'll get you a toy? Hard no, I'm not holding that tarantula. And that can be what it's like for our kids, you know. Go do this traumatic thing that feels awful all over your body and I'll get you a lollipop. Hard no, why would I bother?
Yeah, and also they really want the lollipop, and they're not in control, so it's probably going to add more stress because they really, really do want to go to McDonald's and they really want to do the right thing, but they actually physically can't because their sensory system's in overdrive.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered a lot of strategies today in a very short space of time. Mm. So as usual, if you like what you're hearing, please do subscribe, give us a good rating, give us some good feedback. We really, really love reading all the feedback that you give us, and it does really help us to plan and produce more podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. Like, reach out, send us a message and be like, I'm struggling with this, and let us throw our therapy knowledge at you. Give us something to do.
Yes, please.
As always, remember that you've got this, and thanks for coming along for the ride.